Thank you, Will. Thank you, Bobby, for the prayer this evening. We're certainly thankful for everyone that is here. We're glad you've made it a point to be with us here at O'Neill tonight. Especially if you're visiting with us, we want you to feel welcome anytime to join us here at O'Neill during one of our services. We will ask that you would stick around a few minutes after church so that we can meet you, get to know you a little bit better. Certainly thankful for your presence. Also want to remind everyone quickly, since it wasn't there was no announcements, that the singing class that we're having once a month, it does meet tonight. Stuart is heading that up, and it's in Brother Charlie's classroom directly to my right here, about 10 minutes after services. So hope anyone that wants to can join us for that. It's always beneficial as well. Quickly, before I begin, Brother Glenn and Brother Guy addressed last Sunday about Jay leaving our program. Our program has, preaching program has ended, and our roles have taken a little bit different role, we might say, and Jay has decided to step down for a while. And although I told him privately, I wanted to publicly tell him how much we appreciate him. Appreciate the work that he's done. It's a very difficult sometimes work, even for a part-time preacher. It takes a lot of dedication, a lot of effort. We certainly appreciate him, the work that he's done, but not only him, but Alicia as well. They have worked together with us here. It's been a privilege, it always is for me, to stand before you, to stand in this pulpit, and to share a pulpit with him and the other men. It's a privilege that I don't take lightly. And I just want to say that I appreciate you guys. Love y'all very much. The work that you've done for the past 5 or 6 years now, it's greatly appreciated. And we look forward to working together and worshiping with them in the future. I would like this evening to describe to you a place. You might recognize it. Some of its properties might seem familiar to you. As I describe this place, some place might come to your mind. This place has Christians that are there. The Christians there are men and women. They are young and old. There's not just one church there. There are several churches spread out. These churches have a great benefit because great preachers come to this place. They share the gospel of Christ with those Christians. Teachers come, and they too share the gospel. The churches in this place are benefited by this. But also in this place, there are those that are lacking. There are those that are disobedient, that are rebellious. There are people in this place that are gossipers. There are people here who are liars. There are false teachers in this place. There are people who worship false gods. There are people who try to lead Christians away. There are lazy people in this place. There are gluttons. There are people who no longer heed the commandments of God, but instead follow after men. Does that sound familiar? Do you have a place in mind? This place is not Limestone County, Alabama. It's not Athens, but it could be. It's not O'Neill, but it could be. There are people in this county, in this city, in this congregation that are good. There are people in all of those places that are not. Paul wrote to a man named Titus. He had left Titus in this place. The island of Crete was where Paul had left him to preach, to help encourage the churches that had been established there. All of those things are said in the first chapter in Paul's letter to Titus about that place. But even though all of those things, all of those outside influences were occurring there on those churches, Paul still knew that there could be a sound church in that place. Titus chapter 2, verses 1 through 8, is where I would like for us to take our lesson this evening. Titus chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. I'll be reading this evening from the New King James Version, unless otherwise noted. Paul, as he writes this letter to Titus, he tells him these things about the place. He acknowledges those things. All of the things that are happening there. And then he tells Titus what needs to be done. He tells Titus, you need to preach. You need to take some responsibility and help the people there. Titus chapter 1, verse 5, Paul says, for this reason I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking. He tells Titus, I want you to set those things in order. The problems that they are having, I want you to handle them. Throughout the book of Acts, we never actually find Titus's name. But when we start reading Paul's letters to different preachers, to different congregations, Titus's name is mentioned many times. And we see as Paul leaves him there to work what Paul thought of him, what he thought he could accomplish, the wisdom that he had, the strength and the courage that it would take to stand up against those from the outside and to establish this sound church that God desired there. Verse 13 there in Titus chapter 1, he says, this testimony is true, therefore rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith. I want you to rebuke them. I want you to overcome. I want you to talk to those that are wrong. I want you to talk to them that are struggling. I want you to talk to those that are having adversity. Help them get past it. Help them overcome it. Help them to deal with it. The end of Titus chapter 1 there, Paul talks about the establishment of elders, how Titus was to set up an eldership in each church in those cities, and the great responsibility that that would have had, that he would have had in doing that. Titus chapter 2, where we begin this evening, he talks about the qualities of a sound church. In fact, if you have headings in your Bible over paragraphs, it might actually say that in your Bible. The qualities of a sound church. Titus chapter 2, verse 1, he says, "But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine." As for you, Titus, the person who is going to stand before the people, you have a responsibility. We share that same responsibility. Those people who stand before you in this pulpit, the people who stand before your children in those classrooms behind us. We have a responsibility to God, to each other. All of these teachers know the great responsibility they have. When you send your child to them without them being there, the things that are taught in these classrooms to our children, the teachers take great responsibility in that. They take great care in the things that they teach our children. Paul tells Titus, "You too take care." He encourages him again at the end of the chapter, or near the end of the chapter, in Titus chapter 2, verse 15. He says, "Speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you." We have to establish that authority for the things that we teach, for the things that we say, the things that we do, the way that we guide our children and other members. We have to establish authority for the things that we do in order to have a sound church, the type of church that God wants us to have. It's the same responsibility we have every day. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear." We have a responsibility as individual members of God's church. When we go out into the world, we have that responsibility to be prepared for when someone asks us. We have that same responsibility. Continuing on there in Titus chapter 2, verse 2, he says, "Let the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience." You know, he's just finished a paragraph before talking about the eldership, talking about these men who will lead an individual church. And as he begins this paragraph on the entire church, he picks up where he left off, talking about these men. Our three elders aren't the only men who have responsibility here. Sometimes we act that way. Sometimes we think other people will take care of our responsibilities. But as older men, we have responsibilities. Not just to our families, but to the church. He says you're to be sound in faith, in love, in patience. We lead by example. Our three elders here at O'Neill aren't the only men who lead. We have other men. Other men who set an example for others. All of our men should want to. We should all take that responsibility upon ourselves to lead, to show others how a Christian man should be and should act. Verse 3. Titus chapter 2, He turns to the ladies. He says, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women. Older women have a responsibility as well. The King James Version, this word, as becometh holiness. It's the only place in your New Testament that that word is used. It's used many times in the Old Testament, though. Every time it's used in the Old Testament, that word there refers to the holiness of a priest. Our ladies need to let that sink in. Think about the idea of who a priest was under old law. He was a man that was wise. When people had a problem, they came to him. When they needed to know what to do, they came to him. When they needed someone to lead by example, they came to him. He wasn't a man that just told you what to do. He might show you. He might help you. Our older ladies are to be priestesses of our group. They have a great responsibility, not only to their families, but to the church as a whole, to help the younger women prepare themselves for the responsibilities that they have. Verses 4 and 5, there he turns to the younger women. He says, admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. You think about who these ladies are. And who our ladies are. Who we want to be. Think about all of the terms here that are used in these verses. They center on love. You think about our homes. They center on mom. Everything is connected to her. She can help lead her household by the way she helps raise the children, takes care of things at home. She's the glue that holds everything together. It's the same here at church. You go back here to these classrooms where we send our young children. More times than not, there's a young lady that's there to teach. And we have our young men. We have our young men, Titus chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. It says, likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded, in all things showing yourself to be a pattern of good works. Titus gets clumped in with the young men. Titus, as the preacher, is clumped together with these young men. He says, show yourself to be a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. Start looking at this list as a young man. I'll put myself in that group. Why not? Start thinking about what Paul tells Titus. He says, be sober-minded. Show integrity and reverence. Be incorruptible. Paul knew the struggles of a young man. He knew that the young man's mind was corruptible, that the outside world could influence him. And the great care that it would take to not let that happen. You think about the elders that are set before us. The elders that Titus was to appoint. Men with great responsibility. As a young man. One who would like to attain the office of elder one day. We need to keep in mind that we can't let our mind be corrupted. If we want to be sound in faith and sound in love and sound in patience like those older men are to be, we don't need to let our mind be corrupted as young men. We have to examine ourselves. Make sure that we are prepared. Paul, when he writes to his second letter to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5 there, he says, "Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified?" We want to have a sound church. We want to be sound in our community. We need to examine ourselves. Old men or young men. Old women or young women. We need to prepare ourselves so that when we stand before someone, we're not disqualified for the type of person that we are. But instead, we can help that person. Last few minutes here, I'd like for us to ask the question, what if? You ever thought about that? What if this happened or that happened? What if this had happened differently? How would things have gone? You ever done that with your Bible? What if? What if in Genesis chapter 6, when God told Noah to build the ark, he said, "I'm just too old. I just can't do it. I've done good for you in the past, but my time is gone. Let someone younger do it. I'm just too old, God. Don't ask me." What if in Genesis chapter 22, Abraham said, "You know, what you're asking me to do, God, is just too difficult. I can't fathom doing that, even if it's for you. Ask someone else. It's just too difficult for me." What if in Joshua chapter 1, Joshua told God, "You know, I just can't do it. I don't have the experience that I would like to have to lead your people. Find someone else." What if in Luke chapter 22, Christ said, "Not your will, but mine"? What if? What excuse do we make? Have we ever made one of those excuses? "You know, I did things in the past, but I'm just too old now. I'll let someone that's younger do it." Or maybe, "I'm too young. I'll let someone who's older take care of that." I don't have any experience. I can't do this. I'm just not ready. Or it's too difficult. I just don't think I can. Maybe we're saying, I just don't want to. We want to have a sound church. We want to be a light to the community around us. We want to be ready. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57. Says, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We can be thankful for what God has done for us. We all have a responsibility. We could spend an entire sermon on each portion of that sound church. We need to take our responsibility seriously and fulfill it to the best of our abilities. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. He says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We have a responsibility not only to God, but to each other. Let's take that responsibility seriously. Are you here this evening and you're not a Christian? You know the difference between right and wrong. You know that you have sin in your life and you believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You wish to enter into the waters of baptism so that you too can have forgiveness of sins. We would invite you to come. If you're here and you are a Christian, you have sin in your life that's public that you need to make correction of. If there's any way that we can assist you, we would invite you to come while together we stand.